Well, hi there. Here we are again. This is session number 45. The strength you have. And the scripture for this session is Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. Now, as I've said before, God's ways are not our ways. And we know this from our study of scripture. We have seen that here in the book of Judges, as Israel, remember Israel means those who prevail with God, cried out to God, He sent them a prophet. I want you to remember, a prophet is someone who speaks to man for God. Remember, the prophet speaks to man for God, the priest speaks to God for man. The prophet delivers God's words on God's behalf. As we've discussed earlier in this study of Judges chapter 6, the Israelites were no doubt perplexed by the appearance of a prophet rather than a legion of warring angels or a well-placed plague or two. You know, they must have been going, God, you know, we're really serious here. We need your help. Answer us. Well, God did answer him. He sent him a prophet. And now we find this guy Gideon, hiding out in a wine press. So the Midianites can't get the what he's trying to do there. So now we see God doing yet another thing which would not have been expected. God's like that. An angel appears suddenly and unexpectedly to a man hiding from the enemy. The man's name is Gideon. Now, Gideon means feller, and that is feller like a warrior. In other words, like somebody who fells the enemy. So, Gideon, there he is. He is attempting to get by as he hides, making flour for bread so he can eat. So, he's grinding this wheat in a wine press, hiding from the enemy. I want you to get a picture of that. There he is. How many believers today, like Gideon, are oppressed by brawling, contentious ones and are missing in action? How many believers are hiding, attempting to eke out an existence while not engaging the enemy? Now understand, that's what's going on here. They're complaining to God. They don't know how to deal with the situation. They think they have no ability to deal with the situation whatsoever. How many believers today are hiding, just attempting just to eke out an existence, not wanting to jump into the battle? You see, if you're in this world, you're in the battle. You were born in a battle, and you were born on the field of battle. So it does very little good to try to hide from the battle. Now it must have been a shock, not only to have an angel appear in his presence, but to also have been greeted with the words, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now I want you to notice the word Lord there in the scripture is all in capitals. We're talking about Jehovah God here. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Now it is important to note here that God does not always see a person the way they see themselves. As a matter of fact, I would say probably rarely do people see themselves the way God does. Because even the scriptures tell us that the heart is deceitfully wicked. And we don't even know ourselves sometimes. We will convince ourselves maybe that we're doing something meritoriously, and God may see through it, and it's like, no, that's not necessarily the case. But the reason for this is God knows who we are in His kingdom. That's why we don't necessarily see ourselves the same way either. God knows who we are in His kingdom much better than we may understand who we are in His kingdom. He knows the giftings that He's given us. He knows the calling He has on us. We must learn to walk in that. You know, there's a section in the Old Testament where the prophet says, God, open his eyes and let him see all the legions that are around us to protect us. And there were warring angels all around them to defend them and to take care of them. Israel has experienced this many times in its existence. Many, many times Israel has overcome foes much bigger and much greater than they. And somehow they would always prevail. This little country, Israel, as I've mentioned before, how could it even exist surrounded by so awesome a number of enemy alone? They could just start marching across the border and annihilate them with almost no weapons. But they can't seem to accomplish that. Why? Because the Lord is with them. You see? And the Lord is with us in the same way as believers, because we are grafted in. You see? We are grafted in there. So we're a part of that same kind of protection. So God knows who we are in His kingdom. The thing that we must do is invest our time and energy and efforts in God's Word and in relationship with God to find out where we are in His kingdom. To find out what our walk is to be, what our calling is, what we have been gifted to do, how we fit in as a part of the body of Christ into the kingdom of God. Then comes the big question. Why? It is at this point we find Gideon asking a question that seems to be prevalent in the minds of many people. This is especially true when a person is feeling adversity or things are not transpiring the way they wish they would. Why, God? Why? So Gideon says, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Have you ever wondered that? God, if you're with me, why do all these things happen to me? Now there's a question many believers may have asked. You and I, perhaps, included in that number. I know I certainly have been. Gideon, however, does not stop there. He wants to know, where are all the wonders of the past we have been told about by past generations? Have you ever wondered that? Okay, God, we read about all these miracles in the Scripture. We hear about all this stuff. So where is it? Huh? Did you ever wonder that? So where is it, Lord? What's happening with us? Well, I've seen it happen. And so I know that God's with us. But many people perhaps have not. But I've seen God move. And Gideon just keeps pushing, you know. He wants to know, what about this in the past generations? Can you imagine the frustration he's speaking out of? But God, I wanted this. I need to know this. Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? Now remember, Egypt represents bondage. I'm always amazed, and you've heard me say this before, at the people who feel that they can trust God for eternity, but they can't trust Him to get them through the week. Lord, you know, didn't you bring us up out of Egypt? Did not the Lord do this for us? But what happens is people then tend to begin to forget. Or sure, He did something for me last week, but will He do it again? Like God's a gas tank that could go empty with no energy in it, no power in it. Not the case. Now, Gideon goes on to wonder if they had not been abandoned by God and placed at the mercy of their oppressors. Did you ever feel that way? Did you ever feel like God had abandoned you and placed you at the mercy of whoever was just sort of smacking you around in life? How often, I wonder, do people do evil in the sight of the Lord and then complain to God because they are reaping what they have sown? Somehow blaming God. This is how that chapter starts out. The chapter 6 in Judges starts out. Again, Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and as a result of that, they found themselves being oppressed by the Midianites and the Amalekites and other eastern peoples and the Amorites. But they want to blame God. Nobody seems to want to accept responsibility for their own consequences. Now, one of the things that we can rest in and know as believers is this. We will never get what we deserve. We will never get what we deserve. Hallelujah. Hold at the understanding of that. But just listen to the frustration of Gideon. I mean, Gideon is just, can you just imagine, I can just imagine him almost blurting this out, you know. It's like, well, where have you been? You know, now he's talking to the angel of the Lord. This is not just any angel, you see. And this is basically the Lord himself. And he's just blurting all this out. Where have you been all this time? We heard about all this stuff in the past. And now here we are. All messed up. I mean, everything we've tried to do now for 7 years has just really gone down a rat hole. Nothing seems to be working out right. Every time we think something's going to come through, they come up with their camels and their cattle and their sheep and their goats, and they trample everything we do, and they destroy our crops, and they destroy everything that we have. Where have you been? Huh? It's a little bit like somebody saying, well, where's a police officer when you need him, huh? And at the same time going, well, I don't need one right now, so I'd rather you weren't here because I want to speed down this highway. Kind of that kind of thing, isn't it? You see? It's that sort of thing. So here's Gideon, and he's pressing this stuff out. He is grinding up this wheat. Grinding up this wheat so they have something to eat, so that they can take care of themselves. And times are tough. And what happens? He's worried about how is Israel going to be saved. And I want you to notice something here. He is not, his responses are not personal responses. I don't know if you noticed that or not. His responses are responses for all of Israel, not just for Gideon. You see, he understands that he's a part of a bigger thing than just himself. We're a part of the body of Christ. We need to learn to respond corporately in that same way. His questions are not, where were you when I needed you, Lord? But where have you been when Israel needed you? That's a big difference. I find most people in the body of Christ today, their question would be, where were you when I needed you? Not where were you when we all needed you? Especially in Western Christendom. You find this individualistic idea. You know, it's like, some families kind of have the idea, it's us four and no more. You may have heard that. You know? I knew a lady one time that she knew that she was going to heaven. She knew her daughter was going to heaven. She knew her son was going to heaven. And she hoped her pastor would. I mean, it was just kind of where she was. And I'm telling you that Gideon understood that he was a part of Israel. He was a part of those who prevail with God. And now he gets a commission to go save them. This guy who's hiding out in a wine press. And we're going to go into more of this in detail in the next session, but I want you to see Gideon in that wine press hiding out. And the Lord ignores what Gideon speaks of and simply instructs him. What do you think of that? The Lord does not even reply to Gideon's questions. How many times have you gone to the Lord and said, Lord, why? He doesn't ever seem to answer me. Well, don't be surprised. He didn't answer Gideon either. He did reply to Gideon, but he did not answer Gideon's questions. So what did he say? The Lord said to him, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. I said something else there, but the first sentence is, go in the strength you have and save those who prevail with God out of the brawling, contentious one's hand. And then he says this. Am I not sending you? Am I not sending you? Believers, have we not been sent by the Lord to do the same? To set captives free, heal the sick, bind up the brokenhearted. In short, to bring salvation through bringing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But we have to first act like it's good news. We have to first believe it's good news. Because we have to be able to say, this is what the gospel did for me. And this is what it's done for others I know. And this is what it will do for you. And we must say that to the point that those people say, I want some of that. I want some of that. I want what you got. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of those who prevail with God. So what are we told? Go in the strength you have. Now, is that strength you have your strength? No. The strength you have, you see, if you think it is your strength, you will never go. You will sit and whimper your whole life. I don't mean to be rude or mean or crude to you, but I'm telling you, if you believe that the strength you have is your strength, you will sit and whimper and quiver and cower in that wine press, using it to try to eke out some kind of an existence until one day God mercifully calls you home and gets you out of this mess. That's what your life will become like. I'll guarantee you. But if you go out there in the strength you have, knowing that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, that's very powerful. The strength you have is what has been given to you by Christ. It is what he said was yours in that third part of chapter 17 in the book of John, saying, greater works would you do. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that same Spirit that Jesus had to have the confidence in to go to the cross and give up his life. No man took it. He gave it up. He said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, or I commit my spirit. He had to have the confidence that he would be raised up again. And he was. And that same Spirit, let me say it again, hallelujah, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So go in the strength you have. Because it is not of you, it is of God. That's why you're here. You are a mighty warrior if you go in the strength you have, because it's the strength that has been given to you by the Lord God Himself, and it dwells inside you as a believer who has accepted Christ. It's there. It is there. But you will be deceived into cowering in that wine press, eking out a living, if you do not stay in the Word of God, if you do not stay in fellowship with believers who understand that believing is relying on and going in the power and living in that. That will get you through. But not doing that will have you live a small fraction of the life you've been called to. Not only in this life, but also in eternity too, because you get rewards in eternity for what you do here now. That's not earning your salvation. You've got your salvation. But it's your place in the kingdom. That's why Jesus told the stories about giving one talent and five talents and 10 talents to people, so you would understand that when the master gives it, it's your responsibility to use it. Go in the power you have by serving God and by letting that power flow through you. You will change the world. So I say it to you again. The same thing that the Lord said to Gideon, go in the power you have. And that is the teaching for this session.